Do you know the name Uba Butler? If not, he might be shattered. He's made a name for himself, making a name for himself. When he was a teenager, he made calls pretending to be Martin Davey, rock band manager extraordinaire. That was to get his band booked at venues. Later, he talked his way into Paris Fashion Week, claiming to be Giorgio Peviani, the man behind the knockoff jeans. The jeans exist. The man does not. Never mind. He was wined and dined. Then there was his completely fake restaurant, The Shed at Dulwich. By enlisting his friends to make comments on TripAdvisor, he managed to get the garden shed he rented to live in to be the number one rated restaurant in London, his burner phone ringing off the hook. And when people would call to book, he'd say, "Sorry, we're full up." Then, just to see how far he could push his luck, he turned it for one night into an actual restaurant with a friend playing a pretentious waitress to perfection. Let's listen.
So we've got a beautiful vegetable lasagna for you, and the chef has foraged these delights on the top as well. It's just a beautiful little garnish.
Has foraged the what from the chocolate bars? Just a beautiful... Listen, we'll find out. The video, How to Become TripAdvisor's Number One Fake Restaurant, was seen almost 40 million times on Facebook. Uba Butler hit the media, became a motivational speaker, does not live in the shed anymore, and now he's published a very thin little book about how he did this. And maybe that's the point, because the title says it all. How to BS your way to number one. Uba Butler, we cannot say that word, even though our president does. So we ask that we go with BS, and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
It is a very thin little book, but there's a nugget in there about how, as a little kid, you wanted to get something at the dime store or something, and your parents said no. And you went and what, sold seashells?
Yeah, that's right. I took to the beach and collected everything I could, sold them to passers-by, and, raised enough to go and get myself the toy. So I had the last laugh in that situation.
And so a scam artist was born. Because here you are selling shells to people who are steps from shells. How would you characterize yourself? I said scam artist. How would you characterize what you do?
I think I was entertaining people. I've always liked entertaining people. And I've grown up a little bit now. I've written this book about this kind of method of kind of using not being overly invested in what you do and using that to achieve in life. And I guess that it changes all the time, right? The way that we identify ourselves. And I would say I look back at that and I think I was trying to entertain people and myself, definitely.
Well, but you wanted to pull the wool over people's eyes. You go as Giorgio Peviani to this fashion show. And, maybe some people would say, well, shame on them for being so easily fooled by this guy in these cut-off shorts. You cut the jeans down and put sunglasses on. But others might say, when it gets to the restaurant part, people who genuinely thought that, wow, there's this great restaurant I want to go see. What was your thinking here? Was it about really getting at TripAdvisor, which I think you worked around TripAdvisor at one point? Was it getting at that kind of pop-up restaurant scene where people have to go to the latest, greatest thing? Like, what were you trying to get at?
I guess I could have definitely been one of those people eating at the Shed. I think we are all those people who want to eat at the Shed. The reason they wanted to eat there was because they were told that they couldn't eat there. And I think there's something really human about that. I don't think it's particular about these particular set of people are stupid, or that wasn't what I was trying to say. And then TripAdvisor, in a previous sort of life, I'd worked in restaurants and behind bars. And when people left one-star reviews, the whole staff would be, you'd get it in the neck. So when I started writing, and I started writing fake reviews for restaurants for money on TripAdvisor as like a younger man,
right. It
was kind of fascinating to me to see that this reality that a lot of people take extremely seriously was perhaps false, and I thought that was worth exploring.
Could be so gamed. I mean, you were gaming the system, as you say, when you were writing false, when you were hired to write false reviews for real restaurants.
Yeah.
And then you start writing false reviews, or having your friends write false reviews for a restaurant that doesn't even exist. And as you say, there's supposed to be this anti-doping algorithm on TripAdvisor that nobody could get around. So I'm imagining that was part of the challenge originally. Can I get around it? And you did.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunities that we got through that, I had PR companies wanting to represent me for reduced rates, companies who make in-flight videos to advertise London wanted to come and film there, there was hundreds and hundreds of minor celebrities, influencers, people wanting to eat there. And, you know, it was a complete fiction.
Well, here's what people were viewing on your fake website, which you set up with your photographer friend Chris. There were some food pictures. One was a dishwasher detergent tablet covered in honey. Another, a blob of foam shaving cream scattered with pepper. And this is what you were presenting as the food of the successful restaurant. What were you thinking as it started to rise, as you started to see, hey, we're the number 500 restaurant. Hey, we're number 300 restaurant. Hey, we're in the top 100. Oh, my God, I'm number one. And you don't even have a restaurant.
Exactly. And it all come from that complete non-investment in the whole thing. Like, I was just trying to enjoy every step of the process, which I did greatly. One of the food photos is actually, it's a ham hock, it's advertised as, and looks delicious. But if you uncrop the image, it's actually an egg on my foot. And it was kind of an accurate way of summing it up. And every step of the way, you know, I'm not a good cook, but I was able, because I was completely creatively freed by not being so overly invested in it, I was able to make this restaurant a success. And I'd never made anything a success before.
Well, and in the book, pamphlet, really, you're passing on what you learned to other people about, you know, metaphorically figure out the shed that you're in and how do you get out of it and have a toolbox. Again, we're staying with the shed analogy of tools that can help you achieve this kind of an idea. But then let go of the idea. As you said, figure out ways to game things, like make something a game if you've got a goal. But ultimately, just let go of it, not care about it.
Yeah, I think what it is it's kind of trying to help. Yeah, okay, so for example, with this book, I would love to become a number one bestseller. But the thing is that it's not stressful for me, that pursuit. It would have in the past been very inhibiting, but it's not stressful for me because I'm here, like, I'm speaking to you right now, and that's all. The book is already a success because of that. Like, I love this show. And, like, if I don't become number one, then it doesn't matter. Like, but if I do, then whoever reads this book can apply it to whatever they want.
Well, two things, Uba. Number one, oh, my God, if I help you get to number one, I don't know what I'm going to do to myself. I mean, with all the authors that I know would die to get to number one and refer back to your slim pamphlet. But you also say that while you let go of really caring too much at a certain point, do not listen to the doubters at all. Now that you're super successful, you know, living the high life, you also say don't listen to the people telling you how successful you are.
Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to do is this is less about kind of helping people to achieve success and more about helping them to sort of not be inhibited. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just coming to the length of the book pamphlet, the thing is with the book is I wanted to, it's very deliberate, like I wanted, my audience is extremely young and you can barely get people to watch a 30-second video, so, let alone read a full book. So I was just trying to create something that was reactive and felt kind of appropriate to release. I hope that people could, I really would like people to be able to read this in like a day. Like, I don't think it's beyond anybody to do that.
Well, see, but now we don't trust you, Uba Butler, because now we don't know if you sat down and said, I got a great idea. I'm going to put together a little thing about how I did this, and then I'll be a number one bestseller, just like I was the number one restaurant. We don't know. I mean, do you have people saying that to you? I don't know if I can trust you.
Yeah, and I guess that it's just like, I would just have to go back to just say, like, I was younger then and I was reacting to the situation. I've grown up a little now. I was more focused on entertaining people before. And now it's like, can I try and help people? Can I do that? And apparently I've been inadvertently practicing like a Buddhist kind of way of thinking about things. And I don't know. Like, I think that there's value in that. And I wouldn't be sharing it unless I thought that. However, I can sympathize because I did go at Christmas dinner last year. My great auntie said, please don't send a fake version of yourself. So if people that close to me are not trusting me, then I don't begrudge you for doing the same.
You mentioned Buddhism, but actually I wondered if this was a joke or not. In your acknowledgments, you credit a form of witchcraft.
Yeah, Obeah witchcraft.
You really believe that?
Well, I think that it's sort of an in-joke between me and my family because my name is very close to it.
Why? Give us one aspect of this witchcraft that you say has shaped every major decision you've ever made.
I think that the thing is with it is it's just that I'm considered to be extremely lucky and play by my own rules. And that is aligned somewhat with the values of Obeah, I'm told.
Uba Butler. Again, the book is How to BS Your Way to Number One. Uba, you are delightful.
Oh, could I just thank my publisher, Ware Publications? There was plenty of opportunities to get in bed with bigger publishers, but they've been amazing. They're a small Brooklyn art press and all of them.
Uba, thank you so much.
That was an absolute delight. Thank you so much. This is a dream of mine.
Oh, you say that to all the interviewers.
No, I don't.
And the restaurant patrons.
Yeah. No, I don't. I genuinely listen to NPR every day. So this is really a delight. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, maybe. By the way, Obeah Witchcraft is born in the Caribbean. It's also called Science and Spirituality. I think Uba's serious about Obeah. But again, he sold mac and cheese at Haute Cuisine.